I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll pay a visit to the beauty shop to chat about some of the stories burning up the blogosphere this week, including the tears heard around the world, or at least around the U.S., that were shed by soon-to-be Speaker of the House John Boehner on 60 Minutes. We'll talk about that later. But first, to sorrows in education. Yesterday, California's governor-elect Jerry Brown told education leaders in Los Angeles to, quote, fasten your seatbelts for jarring cuts to schools.
We're going to do everything we can to minimize cuts to public schools. I can't promise you there won't be more cuts, because there will be.
California is facing a $28 billion gap. Now, they've already cut $21 billion in the last 2 years. 40% of the state's budget goes to education. Now, traditionally, states have tried to avoid slashing education budgets. But as budget crises deepen, that seems inevitable in a number of states. And the effects are, of course, being felt in cities and towns. In the Los Angeles Unified School District, for example, they've already lost 3,000 teachers, nurses, and librarians over the past 2 years. And another wave of cuts is expected in the first quarter of next year. We wanted to know more about what these cuts will mean for schools around the country, so we've called on Frederick Hess. He's the author of Stretching the School Dollar, How Schools and Districts Can Save Money While Serving Students Best. He's the director of education policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute. That's a conservative research and policy institute. He's with us from the studios there. Also with us, Los Angeles Times education reporter Jason Song. He's been following the budget story closely. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, if you would just start and put these cuts into context, 3,000 people sounds like a lot of people, but Los Angeles is also a very large school district. So if you could just put us into context for us, how big of an impact have these cuts had? What percentage of the teaching force or this whole labor force has this been?
Well, there are about 45,000 certificated employees, in other words, teachers, librarians, counselors, et cetera, in the district. So that can give you kind of some idea of the baseline that they're working with here. I mean, on the ground, I mean, when I've done my reporting, I've seen, you know, that the school year has been shortened, that the school district has had to have furlough days, librarians have been cut, nurses have been cut. So really, I think it's had a pretty profound effect in the classroom and, you know, in schools throughout the city.
Well, what does that mean, though, for librarians and nurses to be cut? Does it mean that kids are not able to use the libraries now, or they can use them less often for more limited hours, things like that? Do some schools not have a school nurse at all, or is the school nurse only available a couple of hours a day?
Sure. I mean, it varies from campus to campus, but like you were saying, I mean, I think in general, schools have tried not to do away with programs entirely, but they've had to pare back, you know, quite a bit. I mean, one thing that I think had a pretty profound effect citywide was the school district cut the summer school program for the most part. And so a lot of parents were really caught by surprise, A, because they wanted their kids to go to school, and B, if there's not that option, you know, who is going to, you know, watch my children during those summer months?
And what are they talking about for next year? I understand that this isn't still in flux.
Yes, it is still in flux. I mean, I think we'll have a better idea of, you know, exactly what the picture is going to be like starting next month, and then it'll really kind of, the rubber will meet the road in March. But some figures have been kicked around that suggest up to 5,000 more jobs could be cut. Federal stimulus money will probably dry up this year, so that's going to be another burden for the school district to deal with.
Okay. Rick Hess, let's start with you. Now, I understand that you have an opinion about how much spending is really necessary in the schools, and I do want to hear that opinion, but I'd like you to just give us the facts first, if you would,
sure.
And just tell us, how typical is the California experience? I think it's well known that California is facing a budget crisis, but I'd like to know more broadly around the country. Are other school districts facing these challenges, and why?
Sure. Absolutely. The California experience is, I think, more severe. In many ways, California is regarded as a poster child for the dangers of fiscal imbalance. But Texas right now is looking at a two-year deficit that's anticipated to be $10 to $15 billion or greater. Ohio is looking at a two-year deficit of $8 to $12 billion or higher. This is really more typical than not across the country. School districts have become used over the last three generations, really, 75 years. We've increased per pupil spending across the country every single year. So school districts have tended to operate in an environment where each year you do what you did the year before, and then you try to do some more on top of that. So our superintendents, our school leaders are not used to an environment where they're being asked to decide what are you going to cut or what are you going to do less of. And the reality is school district budgets come from three sources. About 10% of school spending comes from the federal government. The stimulus bill in 2009 sent about $60 to $70 billion to help states and districts bridge the gap due to the recession. Those dollars are drying up. About 45% of school dollars come from the state, and we've just noted that many of those dollars are being dialed back. And about 45% of school spending comes locally, much of that derived from property taxes in most states. But obviously, the deflation of property values means that those revenue collections are not only falling now, but are likely to continue falling through 2014 or 2015.
If you're just tuning in, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the effect of the difficult economic times on the schools. Last week, we talked about the cuts that some communities are making in their police and fire services. Today, we decided to talk about education funding, and we're speaking with Los Angeles Times reporter Jason Song, who covers education for the LA Times, and also Frederick Hess, the Director of Education Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. That's a conservative research and policy institute. So, Jason, your reporting has suggested that one of the consequences of these cutbacks is that seniority is generally used to determine who loses a job in a time of austerity. And your reporting has suggested that some of the more effective teachers are the ones who have lost their job. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's what our reporting has found out. Here in Los Angeles, layoffs are done strictly by seniority. And so we kind of asked the question, and what happened during the layoffs? Did a lot of people who were effective get let go? And like you said, we found the answer was yes. And we also found that the layoffs were concentrated most heavily in the poorer parts of the city, kind of in the south and central parts of Los Angeles.
Now, why would that be?
Well, those schools are hard to staff, either because veteran teachers don't want to go there for whatever reason, or that the principals have a tough time hiring folk, and so they tend to rely on younger teachers who are more eager for any kind of job within the system. And so some principals at those schools kind of try to use that to their advantage.
Now, Rick has in Europe, of course, where austerity measures are being instituted by a number of governments, we've seen street demonstrations in response to proposed tuition hikes and things of that sort. Now, we haven't seen quite that level of anger here, but we have seen a lot of people say that this is a disaster, not just in California, sure, but around the country. And do you agree or do you disagree?
For the most part, I actually disagree. Schools have never faced much pressure, even in crisis moments. So if we look, for instance, in the first year of the Great Recession in 2008-09, the basic cuts that we saw districts undertaking were they were turning down thermostats, they were delaying the procurement of textbooks, and they were cutting back on bus service. What we started to see last year was districts either doing what LA is doing, simply riffing across the board, typically without using this as an opportunity to identify and remove less effective educators, or we saw what Hawaii has done, which is simply chopping down the school year, depriving our kids of instructional opportunities simply because we have no other way to fix the problem.
What is your idea? What's your better idea?
Sure. What we see in most lines of work, look as, for instance, at, say, the Huffington Post or Slate when it comes to the media today, is the way that technology and reinvention usually work is that we figure out how to use new tools and new staffing models to actually do a better job of many of our activities for less money. For instance, right now what we see is districts allowing class size to creep up across the board. I don't know the LAUSD numbers. Nationally, we're seeing districts often adding a half kid or a kid a classroom. Frankly, there's no evidence that this is going to make a lick of difference in quality of instruction. Very small classes at kindergarten and perhaps first grade, and for kids who are at most at risk, seem to make a lot of sense. But having 18 rather than 22 or 26 kids in a 7th grade or 10th grade class, there's really no evidence at all that this makes a lick of difference. And in fact, by going to larger class sizes, it means we need fewer educators. We can devote our resources to paying those educators more and to training them better. This is simply off the table in many conversations.
Except that aren't the jurisdictions we're talking about jurisdictions where the kids are already at risk?
Absolutely. And, and the reality is that's what we have actually done. We've increased after-inflation spending in this country threefold since the early 70s while we flatlined on the national assessment of educational progress. A district like Newark, for instance, or Washington, D.C., is spending something like $22,000 to $23,000 per pupil enrolled. And what we've seen is these dollars have mostly been soaked up, adding additional bodies in front of classrooms, which actually makes it harder to attract quality instructors, because the more teachers you have, the harder it is to fill each job with an effective teacher. And what happens is most of the spare dollars, as they have come in, have been pumped into nudging up the steps and lanes on the compensation scale.
Okay, so your perspective is crisis leads to opportunity, or at least it should.
It's the the Emmanuel formula.
Okay. Jason, final thought from you. What are educational leaders in Los Angeles talking about in response to these anticipated cuts, the cuts that have already been made and the anticipated cuts? What are they saying?
I think they also are questioning how can we more efficiently run the system. I mean, when the layoffs came, when they saw all these teachers being laid off strictly by seniority, a lot of the school board members thought, you know, maybe there's a better way. And I think that that's a movement that's kind of catching on nationwide. School districts saying, if we're forced to lay off teachers, can we at least take a look and see who we're laying off? So I think that conversation is really just kind of getting started in Los Angeles. And I'm sure it's something that will, you know, continue for the foreseeable future.
Jason Song is an education reporter for the Los Angeles Times. He's been covering the budget situation there, which includes significant teacher and other school personnel layoffs in Los Angeles Unified School District. He spoke to us from member station KPCC in Pasadena, California. Also with us, Frederick Hess. He's the author of Stretching the School Dollar, How Schools and Districts Can Save Money While Serving Students Best. He joined us from the studios of the American Enterprise Institute, where he works. And the American Enterprise Institute is a conservative research and policy think tank. Thank you both so much for speaking to us, and happy holidays to you both.
Hey,
you too.
Thank you so much.